Hi there. Welcome to Breastfeeding Matters podcast, where we talk all things breastfeeding from personal stories to education and the latest research evidence. I'm Angelica Mullen, your podcast host, lactation counselor, and mom. And I'm here to tell you that breastfeeding matters. So let's talk about it. Hi, thanks for tuning into the Breastfeeding Matters podcast. In this first episode, I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about my story with breastfeeding. So before I was a mom, I actually was in an entirely different career pathway. And it wasn't until I became a mom and started to breastfeed that I delved into the world of breastfeeding. It's been a whirlwind of a ride, and I'd love to tell you guys a bit more about it. So basically, I found out that I was pregnant with my first child in March 2019, and I had been married for about like 8 or 9 months at the time to my husband, Tanner. And, you know, obviously we were super excited. And, you know, thinking back, I don't think I gave much thought to breastfeeding. I mean, I knew that I wanted to do it, but it was something that I thought, you know, came innately and it was going to be fine because, you know, I was going to take the breastfeeding course at the hospital and, you know, everything was going to go to plan as, you know, every other first-time mom thinks. But, you know, once we were ready to, you know, give birth, I had to be induced and all of that. But once my daughter Malia was here, they put her on my chest, you know, I didn't know anything about breastfeeding. I didn't know anything about the breast crawl, none of that stuff. So they put her on my chest and, you know, she comes to my breast and it all seems normal. There's no pain. She's like sucking away there. I didn't give it a second thought. We actually had to be in the hospital for a couple of extra days because she had some jaundice that wasn't really resolving. And I think it was around 48 hours postpartum that we had to introduce some supplementation with formula because she just wasn't progressing as far as the jaundice. And we were almost about to have to do the Billy lights, something that, you know, I really wanted to avoid at that time if we could. You know, that first time that we gave her that formula bottle, I felt so much guilt, you know, because we had been breastfeeding and, you know, like I said, I knew nothing about it. But when we first gave her that bottle, she just sucked it all away. You know, those 20 mLs, she just drank right through it. And, you know, I felt that first pang of mom guilt, you know, like, oh my God, have I been starving my daughter for 48 hours? And, you know, bottle after bottle that we gave her a formula, she did so well with it, you know, and it made me feel happy that she was being, you know, nourished. But at the same time, I was like, you know, this wasn't my goal. I wanted to breastfeed. And so we called over the lactation consultant at the hospital. And, you know, at the hospital, many lactation consultants, they're not really able to give you the kind of help that you truly need. You know, there was no oral assessment, no tongue assessment, nothing of the sort. It was really just, you know, put your baby on your breast, everything looked good. And, you know, it wasn't really like a very thorough investigation of what could be happening, why she wasn't, you know, producing her meconium, why she wasn't resolving her jaundice. So basically, she also told me to start doing some pumping, but nothing could come out. And, you know, she suggested hand expression, but I was, you know, weird about trying that because I had never really been one to like touch my breasts and all that. And it just didn't feel like something that I could do. So basically, we didn't do any hand expression. The pumping wasn't working. I didn't know how to do it very much. You know, I knew nothing. And, you know, I think back now and I think this is how so many first-time moms are. They don't know anything. They don't know what they don't know. And this was despite me taking a 6-hour breastfeeding class at the hospital. Somehow, they don't tell you the important things. And I just couldn't believe it, you know. So I was in so much pain from recovery from my birth. You know, the birth wasn't bad. It was an induction, but I was just in a crazy amount of pain. I honestly couldn't walk for about a week, week and a half. I did not recover well. But we finally are able to get home because her jaundice levels lowered a bit. And, you know, she was getting formula at this point. I was not pumping. I didn't know that if you were supplementing, you had to pump. So we were still trying to breastfeed, and then we would top up with formula. You know, very common picture here. But moms don't know the simple fact that if you're going to be supplementing and you want to continue breastfeeding or you want to keep up with your supply, you have to do some sort of removal of milk. So I didn't know any of that. And so we go home and, you know, her jaundice levels are checked at the pediatrician. Eventually, we realize that we have to go back to the hospital. And, you know, we had a bunch of scares as far as jaundice. But eventually, it goes away. So then, you know, the weeks go on by and I'm still trying to breastfeed. You know, I wasn't going to give up. Like, I knew the incredible benefits of breastfeeding. So I didn't want to give up. But I just couldn't understand why things weren't working, you know. No one really understood either. Like, my family members, you know, my mom breastfed, but it was so different back then, and she didn't really know a lot of the basics because she also struggled with me. So we really didn't know what was going on, and, you know, my family didn't want me to feel guilty about having to formula feed and all of that, but it just didn't feel right to me because I knew that something was wrong. I just didn't know what it was. And, you know, for me, there's honestly nothing more frustrating than wanting to know some information and not having access to it. You know, like, I spent so much time because my main thing is that I thought that I had really low supply. So I spent weeks just researching, like, all the different foods that I could eat, all the different supplements that I could take. And I was just bombarding myself, you know, just My daily thing was doing research, watching YouTube videos, figuring out what I could take to produce more milk. Because I thought that, you know, it was me. Like, I'm just not producing enough milk. This is why this is messed up. So my husband knew this lady that he had done a job for. And she was actually, she had some experience with lactation. She was, like, training to become a lactation consultant. So she was nice enough, and she was a nurse as well. She was nice enough to come to our house and kind of take a look to see if, you know, she could kind of figure out what was going on. And one of the first things that she finds out is that that my daughter was clicking during breastfeeding. And, you know, this whole time I thought that that was normal because I thought that it was just part of the routine. But come to find out, she says that that's typically not normal and that it could mean a tongue tie. So, you know, before I had heard of that term, tongue tie, and I was like, oh, it seems like everyone has one. You know, like, my daughter's not going to have that. What are the odds? And, you know, what's funny now is that I have a tongue tie. My mother has a tongue tie and my grandmother has a tongue tie. But I didn't even know it until I had my daughter. So we're about four weeks. And prior to 4 weeks, and I forgot to mention this, when my milk was coming in, that was, like, the first time that I actually tried pumping again. And I remember just getting a couple of drops. And that was one of the indicators that I thought, well, my supply is so low, like, this is the problem. But fast forward now to 1 month in, and I try pumping again. And I'm getting about less than an ounce combined. So at around a month, you should be producing around 3 to 4 ounces per pumping session, or 1 to 1.25 ounces per hour. So after I met with that nurse, she gave me a number of an IBCLC that I could see that she would come to my house. So, you know, I gave it one more shot. And, you know, at this point, I was so, like, distraught, like, anxious, stressed, because I was, like, you know, I was pretty much obsessed with figuring this out. Like, you know, what's the problem here? I wanted to breastfeed, and, you know, there was nothing that you could say or do to me that was going to make me give up. But I did say that I was going to give up, like, every other day. But, you know, I'm thankful for my husband, who really encouraged me, because he knew that I wanted to do it. So we kept trying and figuring things out. So basically, when the IBCLC came to my house, you know, she was really amazing. She was very thorough, and, you know, I felt really like she was being attentive to every detail. And basically, that's when we found out that she had the tongue tie. So that was 4 weeks in, and I was producing about 7 ounces in 24 hours. So extremely low. And she was still being formula fed that whole time. You know, obviously, we had no choice. Thankfully, I'm glad that I did it, though, because, you know, I wanted her to be gaining that weight, obviously, until things were figured out. But, you know, she gave me a good routine. Basically, start pumping after breastfeeding. So, you know, we would pump. I think I pumped for like 15, 20 minutes after breastfeeding. And I also started some supplements to kind of help boost it all. And, you know, I have to say this too. Prior to me doing this, I didn't want to pump because I had always heard that if you pumped while you breastfed, you were going to get an oversupply. But that is such, like, you know, obviously it's going to happen if you're breastfeeding and everything's going well. But if breastfeeding isn't going well, you need to pump to be able to maintain your supply. So that's why it's so important to work with, you know, an IBCLC that knows her stuff and that can do a thorough assessment, because you need to pump if breastfeeding isn't going well, but then you also need to know if breastfeeding isn't going well and why. So basically at that point, you know, I started to do my triple feeding routine. So I would breastfeed her, I would pump for 15 minutes, and then give her the pumped milk. And, you know, at that point, it was hard, you know, because it was the first time that I was actually like looking at the numbers. So I was seeing how little I was producing. I got this app around that time, Pump Log, and it helped me. Even though it was hard seeing the numbers, it helped me see progress. And, you know, progress didn't come immediately. It took me a long time. And, you know, my theory now is that I basically lost my supply because I had been a whole month with very little milk removal. And I was basically, it took me a while because I was basically in the process of relactation, believe it or not. You know, that's my theory now that I know more. But it took me a while to get a full supply. I think it was around 8 weeks that we were able to stop formula. And during that whole time, I tried my best to, you know, keep up with the triple feeding. But if you've ever done triple feeding, it is a lot of work. I mean, it was just too much for me to handle. So I eventually just started to put her to the breast as much as I could, a couple times a day. Sometimes it was only like once or twice a day. And then I was mainly doing exclusive pumping. Something that really helped with my supply was power pumping. So I would basically power pump for like a week, and then I would take a few days off and then back at it for a week. And that really upped my supply. They say it's 3 days of milk turnaround time. So with power pumping, you're basically showing your body that you're cluster feeding. So your body knows that that demand is coming in and it's going to produce more milk after a couple of days. So like I said, around 8 weeks, we were able to get off of the formula. So it was around, and moving back a little bit, around 6 weeks, we did her tongue tie revision. So we did that with an ENT who used the knife, and it was a doctor that I know. And, you know, I had a lot of hope for that. It was a really tough surgery, you know, because I had to sit her there and hold her and, you know, watch her cry. And that's never easy for a mom, but I had a lot of hope. We tried breastfeeding right after. I didn't really notice any difference. Our IBCLC came a few days later, and the tongue tie had actually reattached. So at this point, you can imagine how I'm feeling. And, you know, I feel so much sympathy for moms who have to go through this. I mean, you've worked so hard, and then, you know, the surgery doesn't work. So what do you do now? And, you know, I'm looking at my whole family just, like, looking at me like, what are you thinking? Like, we can't do this again. You know, they didn't want to put her through another surgery. And I didn't either. But, you know, I'm like a person who does so much research. And, you know, I have like a bit of anxiety. So I did a lot of research on the effects of not fixing a tongue tie. And, you know, the lifelong consequences, the issues with starting solids, the issues with just jaw development and anatomy. And, you know, just the consequences that it could have. And, you know, I wanted to do things right for my daughter. So for me, I know I kept thinking about it, but we didn't do it for a bit. So basically at that point, I was just exclusively pumping, kind of just gave up. We just gave her bottles. So that was around 6-7 weeks. She was 6-7 weeks old. It wasn't until she was around close to like probably 11 or 12 weeks old, so nearly 3 months, that I just got this random spurt one day, and I was like, I can't move forward. Like, this is just tearing me apart that I'm not going to breastfeed my daughter. And, you know, I know that, like, not a lot of people are like this, but I just couldn't let it go. Like, I knew that I needed to do this. So basically, I reach out to a provider that I had heard really good things about. So this was a pediatric dentist a little bit far away from us who did laser revisions for tongue ties. So, you know, it was something that, like, my husband understood why I wanted to do it. You know, like, I explained it to him and all that. I actually didn't even tell my mother because, you know, I didn't want to worry her. So I just kind of made the appointment. We went. It was so quick. Like, you know, I wasn't even in the room when they did it. So that was good. But it was super quick. And, you know, they told us exercises to do. So the first surgery, we didn't do any exercises. The second surgery, we did. Another thing that we did prior to the second surgery, we did about 2 weeks of chiropractor. So at that point, I started to educate myself a bit more on what you need to do for a tongue tie revision. So I'll talk more about this in another episode, but tongue tie revision is only one part of fixing a tongue tie. You really need something called body work, and a chiropractor is part of that body work team. And, you know, that's kind of what we chose. So doing that prior to the revision is really, really important. So I'm really thankful that we were there. So we had been doing that, kind of trying for that to work without the second surgery. Unfortunately, it didn't. But it does work to kind of ease some of the tension of the tongue. You know, this tongue that's tongue-tied has been since utero in the wrong position, doing the wrong movements, doing the wrong practice. So it's really difficult for that tongue to function correctly. It's all about tongue function. But to get proper function, we need to fix the anatomy. So basically, after that second surgery, we're inside the pediatric dentist. We go outside immediately in the car to kind of, you know, soothe her and all that. And I put her on the breast. And, you know, let me tell you that I'll never forget that moment, because that was the first time ever that I felt the difference, that my breast felt softer after I feed. You know, before, like, she would breastfeed and I really wouldn't feel any difference. I had no clue, like, what breastfeeding really felt like. And I really felt like my breast felt empty. And I mean, that to me was like mind blowing. I couldn't believe that's what it truly felt like. And, you know, she emptied my breast and we did the tongue exercises for about 21 days. And so at this point, it was kind of weaning off of the pump and getting back to, or, you know, going to just breastfeeding. Now, that was actually kind of tricky on its own because, you know, I was so excited that I kind of just, you know, stopped pumping fairly quickly within a few days because she was emptying my breast so well. And, you know, I talked it over with the IBCLC and, you know, she seemed okay with it since she was doing so well. But things kind of got a little bit iffy there. And, you know, it was also partly due to the fact that when you go through all these things, your confidence in breastfeeding is dropped to the floor. So you have no confidence in the fact that your body is able to do this. You know, when you have a baby that isn't able to transfer milk well, then it's impossible for you to develop that, you know, that breastfeeding trust in yourself. You know, you don't know if you're able to do this. You don't know if your baby's getting enough. So it was always that question, like, is she getting enough? Is my supply dropping? So I did go through like a supply drop scare. And, you know, if you guys heard earlier, it took me 8 weeks to build up my supply. So it was something that was super scary for me. But basically around that time, it must have been like maybe a week after the revision, I started to pump a little bit more and, you know, things got back to normal. But it was basically like a slow transition after that, you know, a slow transition. But we were able to get back to the breast in about a month, 100%. So she was 4 months old when she was finally breastfeeding fully with no bottles, no formula, no anything, just me. And, you know, telling the story, it's like, you know, emotional. Like, I've just been through so much with like trying to breastfeed. But so that was a long time ago. So now she's about to be 15 months old. And we've been breastfeeding this whole time, you know, beautifully. And, you know, from the whole journey that I've been, it really, you know, made me so passionate about breastfeeding. You know, as you can imagine, some of the things that I went through were really tough, you know, days where I just like cried that this wasn't working. But, you know, I never felt like I didn't want to try. I never felt like, oh, I'm doing this because I didn't want my baby to get formula. I just, you know, I kind of knew that this was something that I wanted to give to my daughter. I wanted that, you know, that breastfeeding bond. And when we started to exclusively breastfeed, you know, I noticed that difference immediately. It's such a beautiful and special bond. And, you know, it makes me so happy to be able to give it to her now. So, you know, she's like almost 15 months and, you know, she loves to breastfeed. And, you know, my goal at this point is just to let herself wean. But we've actually had some good news lately and I'm pregnant with number two. So it's definitely a different kind of journey now. But looking forward to, you know, this pregnancy and kind of doing it, you know, doing some breastfeeding while I'm pregnant and then doing some tandem feeding. So those are definitely all topics that I want to talk to you guys about. So, you know, thank you so much for listening to my story. I hope to share some good episodes here just about different things that I learned throughout my time with breastfeeding, throughout my breastfeeding education. And, you know, if it wasn't for my daughter, I wouldn't have found this passion or this career. And, you know, I'm really happy to be here. So thank you so much for listening to the Breastfeeding Matters podcast. I hope you tune into our next episode.